Hey, Mark, I'm thinking of growing a beard.
Really?
Yeah, about 2 to 3 feet long and white.
Ho, ho, ho!
The following podcast contains graphic descriptions of international celebrating and global merrymaking. It may not be suitable for angry or unhappy audience members. Listener discretion is advised. You've been warned.
Have you ever seen any of those foreign films? I don't like them.
Claude Yule! Ride to Vienna!
Some are born great, others achieve greatness, and some watch Christmas movies.
For Natale! We are the wild and pretty guys.
But they're both festive, aren't they?
Joyeux Noël!
And we are the festive foreign film fans. Well, hey, Mark.
Bob, how are you today?
Mark, I am doing great. And you know why?
I think I do, but you go ahead.
So you go outside, you sniff the air, and it smells like, guess what?
Football.
Yep, it's football. It's football season. And I'll tell you, it takes me back to starting in when I was a little kid. And I lived near high school, and we used to go Friday nights and climb over the fence. Now, don't tell Tom Cop, our high school cop, and his last name really was Cop. Don't tell Tom Cop, but we'd climb over the fence, go to the football games. Then I had my own high school football games. Then college. Oh, my gosh. Every Saturday morning, you'd get excited going to college football games. Then, of course, our years with our son's football games.
Yeah.
So I just love September.
And you went to a big college football stadium out in Iowa there. So that was... That must have been incredible.
Oh, and my brother-in-law was playing at that time.
Oh,
and,
that's right.
And, you know, that's one thing I had to clarify. So we talked about Eric and how Eric was, you know, the stud football player when he was in high school. But he's now a coach for the exact same team that he played for. How incredible and awesome is that?
It's a fun story. It's a Hallmark story.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful. And you know what? I decided too. So he has Lena. Lena comes right around the time that we have this podcast, so she's become our unofficial mascot. And so I think when we take our logo and the two of us, we're going to just get an extra picture drawn of her, like that blue fairy thing or whatever from Quebec, and we'll just add her right in.
Perfect.
She's our mascot there.
She is the precious little angel, so I think she fits in.
I think we gotta pull up a stool and set her carry her on there, and she can just gurgle with us because I'm sure she'll sound more smarter than we are.
Yeah, well, I know I can only speak for myself, but I agree. But it is football season.
Well, and that's, you know, I feel like this kind of time right now in the podcast is where our sports reporting and then also our injury report, because I know, Mark, we all got to check in. We got to find out, because even though we won't be playing pickleball, but we do have a golf outing coming up, don't we, Mark?
We do. So I am back. I have been back. I feel good. I feel good about pickleball, not so good about golf, but that's because of my ability in golf, not my injuries.
Well, we can look forward to that festive foreign film fam, the 4F golf outing at some point. We bring in all the actors to golf with us, and we have that to look forward to.
I don't want that scary guy from Rare Exports to come.
Yeah.
That Santa, that elf scared me.
Yeah. Or all the naked Santas could be, the elves could be the caddies. So here, you know, I started thinking about this because, you know, we got a couple of good films under our belt, and I'm thinking, you know, we are so used to seeing American films and seeing them from an American point of view, with all the cultural touchstones and, you know, the things that we're familiar with. And I'm just curious now, you know, having seen a couple of these films, which may have a different perspective. Or what do you think? Do you see differences? Is it influencing how you look at the films?
Well, you know, I think it's a great question. And I think the last couple of years in the Academy, mm-hmm. right, as we've talked before, we like to watch films, right, and trying to bring in more an international flair into them, you really, I think, started to appreciate that, you know, the U.S., the American, the Hollywood perspective is not the only one out there, right? So I think I was on that journey already. I think as we got into some of these Christmas and festive films, you know what? In the beginning, I'll be honest, and I tried to Americanize everything.
Mm-hmm.
I really did. Yeah. I was like, oh, that movie reminds me of Home Alone.
Oh, yeah.
That movie reminds me of this. And sort of trying to say, oh, they must have got that idea from an American-based film. But now as we've watched more, I realize as I'm watching these films, and especially as we dive into the culture, it's kind of fun to watch how they bring various cultures out in their films. Just, I think, similar to many filmmakers do. So I'd like to think that we're starting to explore and expand and open other viewers' eyes into different cultures. So
yeah, I hope so. And I think you're right. A lot of times it's very subtle. They're just elements because, again, they're things that they're used to and they're just acting the way they're familiar with. But for us, you're picking up on, oh, wow, you know, that's a little, it's a different perspective or a different view. And but in the same way, you can flip it around. The one thing that's interesting about the Christmas movies is the commonality of the holiday.
True.
But how it's celebrated, thought of, spoken about is different.
And the spirit of Christmas still remains the same.
Yeah. And if we're going to talk about a different perspective, and a different point of view, I think that's going to lead us right into tonight's movie. What do you think? Shall we talk about it?
Ooh, there's no such thing as a Hollywood ending. Ooh, there's no such thing as a Hollywood ending.
Want to watch a Christmas movie?
Christmas movies are our bread and butter.
We eat Chinese food and watch Christmas movies.
I heard it's the best Christmas movie since Home Alone.
So tonight's film is, and the first thing is, it's our first musical. Mm-hmm. Got to say that.
Yep.
It is our first non-dubbed film. They are speaking English here because tonight's country is Scotland.
Yep.
Now, what I find ironic is when I've seen some of these Scottish people on Twitter, I don't know what the heck they're saying. I got to read it through a couple of times. But here, at least I can understand, although I love the accents. Did you pick up on the Scottish accents?
Yep.
They're wonderful. So we have a musical. We have it's in English. And Mark, it's a Christmas zombie film. Is there anything better than that?
I mean, it's the perfect ingredient to me. I mean, I'll stop eventually.
No, I want, you know, because while I'm summarizing and telling you about the story, if I decide to stand up and break into song because it's better explained that way, just ignore me, okay?
I got you.
So let's talk about, you know, again, I love, there's a lot of young people in here because this is like High School Musical with zombies. And so we have really great, talented young people in the film, but everybody sings, even some of the characters you don't expect, like the evil principal and the dad, the janitor dad, they're all good. So I almost feel like I'm disrespecting them, but you know, kind of, we narrow down, let's focus on the main people in the first one, Anna.
Yeah.
Now this is the name of the movie, Anna and the Apocalypse. And so of course, Anna's going to be right in front, and this is Ella Hunt. And Mark, could she be any better? I mean, she makes you cheer and hope and pray that she makes it through the night.
What a great voice, too. Oh. I mean, her acting was good. Her singing was phenomenal. And I know you're going to talk a little bit about her background. But yeah, it was fun.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
It's so funny to think of if life was like this and, you know, someone's having a problem, they just stood up and start singing and dancing. But yeah, she's a great singer. In fact, she's actually had she's put out two songs. I mean, and she has true acting chops. I mean, she has some, She's been on, she was with in Les Miserables with Hugh Jackman and Russell Crowe. I mean, right there. So you can go find her there. And then John, like her buddy John, the long suffering, you know, always in the friend zone, John, who you can clearly tell is captivated with Anna. And again, he's wonderful. And this is his breakout only role. He's a Scottish actor. So he's a Scottish actor. Now he's done some other stuff since this, but this was really his first role, and what a tremendous job.
Yep. He played a great, you know, supporting actor role. And you did feel for him, right?
Oh yeah. Yes. Yeah, you did. Especially when you think of our next guy, Nick, Ben Wiggins, who plays Nick. And I don't know. I even despite all the things he did toward the end to kind of redeem himself, I still didn't like him. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Nick is the, he and Anna had gotten together in the past. And so he is, he's also like the school bully and the popular guy and loves to pick on John, because I think he can tell that he likes Anna. And so, and through the whole, you know, he has some sensitive moments, but for the most part, he's kind of a jerk.
But he also is carrying some of his own baggage, too.
Yeah, exactly.
That could be at the root of some of it. But yeah, I was not cheering for him.
No, and the dad's great, Tony. The Steph is really good as well. And then the principal is really
kind of
terrible, but,
but good, yeah.
But good in his mean way. And what is ironic is when the movie starts out, did you pick up on when they're in the car? So they're in a little town called Little Haven, Scotland. They're in Little Haven, Scotland. They're driving on the way to school. And while Tony is driving Anna and John in the car, and the radio's on, and they start talking about a pandemic. And Anna reaches over and turns off the radio before you. But I just thought right away your ear picks up like pandemic.
We've been down that path.
And you know, you got your typical dad and daughter having. She wants to take a gap year. He wants her to go to school. What you don't realize is he's driving her to school, but he also works at the school.
Right.
And he doesn't have any problems, and she doesn't seem to have any problems with him being the janitor of the school. And it doesn't seem like her friends care. The only one who makes an issue of it is the principal, who can put him down,
right?
You know, and ask him to clean up after him and all these things, you know, just to humiliate him. So right away they get to school and they kick into their first song, I Must Break Away. And it's Anna who's singing that, John who's singing that, and then Steph. And this kind of is drawing out the different things about their personalities. Anna wants to break away, you know, to go off on a gap year travel. John wants to break. He needs to break away from Anna, really.
Right.
And Steph has moved there. She, I think, is American. In the I think she says her parents moved her thousands of miles away to come here. Yep. And she's trying to break away because I think people don't treat her well. She's a lesbian. And, you know, not that that isn't a plot point, but it comes out. And I think that's the kids in the high school don't treat her well because of that also. And then we also see the jerk boyfriend, Nick, who's, you know, like I said, picking on John, picking on other students, and generally the students that aren't as popular, aren't as cool as Nick is portrayed to be. And then, of course, then we meet the principal, who is, his authority and anger and control issues just grow as the movie changes, as they become more and more threatened by the zombie apocalypse. And then into the cafeteria and into the song that Mark, you so elegantly sang for us at the beginning, and a reference to the U.S. No That's such right. thing as a Hollywood ending.
That's right.
And a really great, I mean, you got, I think the cafeteria workers are banging their things. All the students are dancing. And
yeah. I mean, it's sort of probably I would think that they would, most people consider that the marquee song of the show, and I think they, as in many musicals, it comes up multiple times or the background music, but it's a fun song.
Yeah,
I mean, and quite honestly, as my family, if you call them right now, might tell you, I've been singing this song. And it goes right into that. Ooh-ah, ooh-ah.
And that zombie dancing, have you been doing that as well?
My whole life. That is nothing new. I just didn't know where to apply my skills.
And what's so interesting is they're doing the exposition and kind of introducing all the people and the dynamic and the school and all that. If you look kind of in the background, you can see things are starting to go wrong. You don't know what it is, but you love that it's, you know, it's not impacting the main actors and actresses at all, because they're just school kids going about their school day. And then slowly this whole issue in regards to zombies is starting to seep in. This is a musical. We do get to see some portions of this pageant, one of which the rapping penguins, which it's a pun-filled song that's so inappropriate, but I was laughing going, you know, here you have the meanest, evilest principal and these songs that they're singing at this high school presentation in front of parents, you could never get away with ever.
And you're thinking like, for that control freak, he certainly missed out.
Oh, yeah. In fact, he's sitting back and enjoying the whole thing. And the next day when they all, you know, and this is where you start to see things really going off the rails. I think there was problems. Her alarm clock didn't go off. And I think because the power was failing, she has to rush. She's rushing to get ready for school. And John, same thing. You know, they're late, oversleep. And so they go into singing this song, What a Time to Be Alive. And what's great about this is that while they're talking about being alive, you start to really see the zombies in the background. The world is crumbling around them, and they're just happily on their way to school singing their song.
Dancing down the street. I thought that was a class. I think that was very creative film. Editing and how they portrayed that, because it is comical.
Oh, I mean, it's hilarious. Yeah. And it's so perfect because, you know, like right when she steps out of the scene, you know, a woman runs by with a zombie chasing her, you know, some of the house is on fire and she's not noticing any of it.
Well, it's because it's a great day to be alive. Yeah.
And they finally arrive. The two of them meet, and I guess this is their normal meeting place, of all places, a cemetery. They're in a cemetery singing their song, and all of a sudden, the zombie snowman kind of stumbles up. It's a snowman, someone who was dressed as a snowman, who the face now is gone, and he's got blood. He's a zombie, clearly, and they're like, what the heck is this? And Anna, with a teeter-totter, actually knocks off his head.
That's right.
So then you realize, wait, this is not a normal day at all. And so they realize they're, you know, I think they run into town. The Christmas tree in town is on fire. They decide to take shelter in the bowling alley because they realize they're not going to be able to make it to school.
Right.
And so while they're in the bowling alley, it's getting attacked by the zombies. But that's where things start to really heat up, because they had accidentally the night before knocked out the cleaning lady in the bowling alley. She's become a zombie.
Yep.
Some of the guys that they were kicking out of the bowling alley, they're zombies and bust back into it. So they're all in trouble, and they are doing whatever they can to beat up these zombies in the bowling alley. And it gets pretty brutal. I mean, they're hitting them with
it's kind of like bowling balls. It's kind of over exaggeration violence.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
It's not blood and gore. It's just almost,
It's cartoonish.
Cartoonish. That's a good word. Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
And so at the same time, while they're dealing with the bowling alley, and they hear an announcement to get to the school because the military is going to help clear everybody. Like, the school's become like the place for everyone in town who's not a zombie to get to, and then the military will lead them out. They're fighting the zombies at the school. The principal is trying to control everyone there. The parents are there, some of the parents. And so there's tension is rising at the school. The kids end up sleeping at the bowling alley. And then they realize, you know, we got to get to the school because the military is going to help save us. Look out the window, and all the military guys are zombies too. So they're like, the only thing left for them now is just maybe to get to school just to see if their parents are still alive.
Right.
You know, because obviously it's not the safety net they thought it was going to be. They devise a really smart way to get out of the bowling alley to fool the zombies. And they take the ball pit, flip it over, and they all get under the ball pit, and they're all sneaking their way while the zombies are all around them. And at one point, I think they take a pause, and a zombie sits on the ball pit, so they're kind of stuck there.
Yep.
And then one of the zombies realizes they're underneath, trying to come at them. So again, now this time they're in a really tight space. What are they going to do? And here comes Nick and his pals to the rescue.
Yep.
And they are out, and this is where you see the bully nature in them. They're out, they're having a grand time. They're like beating on the zombies with baseball bats, hitting them with shopping carts. They're just, you know, they're hunting. That's exactly what they're doing. They're just having kicks and having fun and hunting. And the best way to get to the school is a shortcut through like a Christmas tree warehouse kind of place. Dark. They don't know what's inside. Nick's like, oh, come on, don't be afraid. And I think they're nervous. So this is where Anna picks up her, what becomes her kind of symbolic weapon. She gets a candy cane that has a sharp point on the end of it. I guess to drive it into the ground, I couldn't understand, but it's like a, you know, a candy cane sword or something like that. So they go sneaking through. And this is great because it's, you know, dark, and but it's Christmas trees and Christmas decorations, and some of those are spooky and they're scared. And of course, what's in there?
Zombies.
Zombies are in there. And Zick's boys, his little gang, they all get, they get bit. And he has to face, like beat on his friends, which, you know, he didn't want to do, but he seems to kind of get a kick out of it, but then he doesn't. I don't know. And I think you're right. We find out later he's had some struggles. They're running through, they get out, you know, all of the people we really are identifying with, Steph and John, and so far everybody's good. They're getting to the school. And this is where you see John, how selfless as he is to save Anna. He just sacrifices himself into a pile of zombies and gets eaten. And so they make it to the high school, and they get inside, and they find now the principal's off his rocker. Now he's like eating Christmas dinner. I think it's food from the lunchroom or something. Yep. And he's like, oh, you came for your parents. He brings him to the room where the parents were, where we had watched them earlier. The principal has let the zombies in with the parents because they wanted to, there had been a scene earlier. They wanted to leave. He didn't want them to leave. He wanted them to stay in his high school. So he decided, and he let the zombies in to, you know, get the parents. So Anna wants to find her dad. So the two groups separate. Nick goes with Anna, but Steph does get away. She almost did, and she was like so heartbroken that she hesitated, but she gets away. And in the same time that Nick and Anna on their way trying to find her dad, a bunch of zombies, and Nick's like, Anna, you go. And you figure Nick's a goner too. Like, he's, you know, surrounded by zombies. All he's got is his baseball bat. Anna heads into the gym. There's her father on stage tied to the big Christmas star.
Right.
And the principal sitting on there. And again, he's, you know, he's lost it. He has an issue with her dad and he's drawing all the zombies here. And he's basically going to sacrifice the dad to the zombies. And Anna has to save her father
with her candy cane sword.
And Mark, does she do it?
Ooh, there's no such thing as a Hollywood ending.
So Anna rolls up her sleeves and I think this song is Nothing's Gonna Stop Me Now or something. it's a well choreographed, exciting scene of Anna battling the zombies to find her dad, reunites with her dad. Nick comes strolling on the stage. The dad and the principal fight.
Yep.
And I don't know how much all I want to reveal. I mean,
you know, I think, you know, you got the four protagonists there all at the end. I think we should let the audience watch the film and maybe just know, ooh, there's no such thing as a Hollywood ending.
Which, you know, and that's, I'm glad you bring that up, because if you think about it, in any of these films, they end, but, you know, you're like, what is the future for these people? You know what I mean? You know, there's, you can only go so far. What are they going to have to, you know, if they have to get food or forget, you know, something, you know, I don't know, but it's, some make it, some don't. It is quite an interesting concept, I think, for a film.
Like you said before, it's a musical, it's a comedy, it's a zombie film. Like, I just think it's, I love the
good songs.
It's great songs, yes. Great music,
yes,
great singing.
Really, yes.
And I just wonder, like, who thought of that? And good for them.
Uh-huh. But here's a big question for you, because I have been grappling with this once we devised our test. Is this a Christmas film?
Yeah, I think it is. I do. I think it's, I mean, it has the Christmas, the whole pageantry, and how can you have a candy cane sword if it's not Christmas time? So, I mean, I guess you could have other swords, but, you know, with the Christmas pageant, the time of the year, I would put it barely making it over the line as a Christmas film, just barely.
And I know I said I'm the liberal guy, and I know, and I failed on Rare Exports, and I am at it again. I am like, it has all the trappings. And in fact, it even has the feels. You do feel for, there are some sensitive moments, and, you know, you want Anna to succeed, and you hate when poor John dies. And so it has all that. But I'm like, when they're eating people's faces or whatever, all the blood and the gore, and I'm like, I mean, maybe I'm with you right on the edge, because it does add that element, like, you got the beauty of Christmas around this, and let's throw some zombies in, and let's, so, like, you love the little symbolic, the Christmas tree on fire, you know, Anna with the candy cane, you see, like, a Santa zombie, the snowman zombie. You know, you see a lot of the...
And the Christmas pageant, right? You have a Christmas pageant there, too.
Well, that's... I don't know how Christmassy that was either, but... So, okay, maybe just because of the elements, I'll give it you kind of right on the edge, though. Right on the edge. But I kind of described how it made me feel. What did you think?
Well, I love musicals. I liked it. I the zombie piece to me was such a, sort of an interesting part of it, but I thought the plot was good. I thought the music was great. In fact, I was stunned at how strong of a performers they all were, especially Anna. I felt very happy. And like I said, I felt like a musical that incorporates zombies and incorporates Christmas. I love the creativity of movies, so I felt pretty good about it.
Yeah, you're right. It you come out of it, you're still upbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, because they keep it that way, you know, they keep it going along. And the other, just talking about feeling, though, I have to say, there is, Nick does get the one moment where he has to talk about, he had to, his dad got bit and his dad told him, you're going to have to kill me, you know? And that's where you saw a side of him that you don't, you hadn't seen throughout the movie. And to your point, he had a military dad. I think there's some issues there. And so, but so future?
I would love to watch it again. I probably will watch it again. And same here, like, I'd be curious to see, you know, if the kids would watch it with me. But yeah, I think I will put this on my play it again list.
I'm glad because, you know, I said, I wanted to get my whole family. I'd like Mary Ellen to see it. I know she, you know, she won't like the blood and all that, but she will love the music and the dancing. She absolutely will. And it's just, it's fun and so offbeat, so different that, I know I will watch it again. Recommend it.
To certain people.
Yeah.
Right. To certain people, the ones that I know who would like the creativity of it. Again, people who like musicals. Because again, as we've talked about, Bob, as we've gone through this, I'm hoping we're reaching people who are not just, you know, Christmas crazy knuckleheads like you and I, but also people who love movies and love creative movies. And, you know, there's probably people out there who love musicals and, you know.
And they might overlook this one when they hear kind of what it's about. And I'd want to say, don't.
Right.
You know, you're really, it's a good ride. It's a fun ride. Give it a shot because I think you'll enjoy it. I'm with you. I would recommend it. I think to several, I know I'm not going to go tell my mother-in-law, hey, I think you should watch this, you know, on Jesus's birthday, because that is not going to go over. My friends and I'd be like, you know what? You want to have a fun time? Want to have kind of a different, you know, time? This would be it. This would be the movie to do.
Totally agree.
So, Mark, now you're probably thinking, well, wait a minute. They were all speaking English, so I know how to say Merry Christmas in English, but I'm actually going to teach you how to say it in Scottish Gaelic.
Oh, I'm ready.
Here we go. Nolak Creole. Nolak Creole.
Nolak Creole.
I like Creole.
I liked it.
Now, let's talk about, you know, it's interesting because we know a lot of the customs in other parts of the UK, England, you know, you see a lot of it portrayed on TV, maybe even Ireland and all that. You don't hear much about Scotland and their customs. So that's why this was kind of fun to look into it. Because the first thing I found out, and this was stunning to me, that it wasn't an official, Christmas was not an official holiday in Scotland until 1958.
That's crazy.
I know. And they said, you know, so it was banned during the Scottish Reformation, because they kind of deferred to it as a Roman Catholic superstition, and they would have punishments if you were caught celebrating. So that it happened during the Scottish Reformation and lasted all the way till 1958. So because of that, their celebrations are relatively low key. Their biggest celebration comes the week after New Year's Eve, and can you guess why?
Because they like to drink pints, and so they're celebrating Christmas Eve. That's very stereotypical of Scottish, and I apologize to all my Scottish friends.
The whiskey?
Friends. Yes.
No, it is because Auld Lang Syne. Auld Lang Syne, the song was written, it's a Scottish poem. That's a Scottish song.
Did not know that.
Yes, yes. In fact, Auld Lang Syne is the old year passing or something. Old Year's Past, I forget what it is, but anyway, they sing that song, they have fireworks, they have street parties, that's their, in fact, they call it Hogmanay. But having said that, we can look back, they do have, there is a Christmas history there, when the Vikings raided and settled Scotland in the late 700s. Now we're going pretty far back. They brought their own way of celebrating. And again, this goes back to some of the pagan roots to Christmas. They were celebrating the winter solstice, and they referred to it as Yule or Jule.
Right.
Yes. Jule. So that's where, that's a Norse word meaning feast. And they were celebrating the Druids, pagans, and the Vikings, and that was their celebration. And as you know, and I'm sure you've read, there's some debate, you know, clearly when you look at what the shepherds in the field, and we understand that Jesus wasn't actually born on December 25th. It was picked as a day. It became a symbolic day for them, but it also was a way to merge some of the groups that celebrated the winter solstice. But what I found this so interesting, especially when you think of how we portray the big bad Vikings, but after they have their feast, they put a huge fire and the men would hold hands and they would circle around the fire exclaiming, "Thor is with us, Thor and Odin, and hail Yulha." So Mark, I know each episode we like to find something that we're going to add to our holiday traditions. So I'm going to have your family over in December. We're going to join hands in my front yard and we'll circle around and we're going to be Thor is with us, Thor and Odin, and hail Yulha.
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 I could do that, you know.
And I bet you didn't even know that they had, whereas we have the 12 days of Christmas, the Scots had the 13 days of Yule. It was sung in Scotland as far back as the 1800s, and they changed. Now, what I find interesting is what people value, what gifts they give to their true love.
Mm-hmm.
So in Scotland, they included gifts like a bull that was brown, an Arabian baboon, and stalks of merry corn. So I just, you know, honey, I'm sorry that Arabian baboon sitting on top of the tree, that's for you.
I'm just dying to know if any of our listeners are going on to Amazon or eBay right now and Google and putting in there if there's a possibility to buy. You know what? I'm going to bet you a dollar that one of those three will show up on eBay or on Amazon.
I'm sure you get some stalks of merry corn. Just don't smoke them. And the last custom I'm going to leave you with, many Scottish families, they still burn a twig from a rowan tree. Now, a rowan tree, it was featured in Norse mythology, and it was supposedly bent over the river that was in the underworld, and Thor was getting washed away by the river, and the tree bent over and he grabbed it and got back to shore. So the tree itself is supposed to afford protection. So if you go to Scotland now, you can see a lot of rowan trees are planted right next to the homes. As part of their holiday tradition, they'll burn a rowan, and that's supposed to bring you protection for the new year. So, Mark, now I want to treat you. I got you all excited with the Scottish movie and the Scottish customs. How about some Scottish music?
Let's do it.
This calls for some Christmas music.
Yes, this Christmas music.
What kind of Christmas music is that?
The least you could do is play some Christmas music.
And now back to Christmas music.
All right, Mark. So I'm going to introduce you to a band called the Orchids. They were a Scottish band. They were formed in a suburb of Glasgow in 1985. So get this history of this band. So the Orchids, they form in 85. They release a whole series of singles, very popular. Then in 1994, they go quiet. Last they're seen is at their record company's farewell party. That's less. They perform in the farewell party in 1995. They disappear. 9 years later, they reform. They surface. So we're 85, 94, disappear. Come back in 2004, reform, and they finally release their very, very first Christmas song in 2021. So they had a career from 1985 to 2021. And this is their song, "I Wish I Was."
Dancing all night long, oh, but I
I'm not that wee boy anymore. You know, when you listen to them talk about this track, they call it a wee nostalgic track. And it's really, it's actually, when you listen through it, it's really, I love a song like this, very touching, where they're drawing on the memories of what Christmas was like when they were little kids in Glasgow.
It's a very nice, soothing song.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's another great add to our playlist.
That's right.
Now, I got to get you a question before we close up. I want to know, so far we've seen a number of movies now. Which one would you, if you could put yourself in one of the films, which would it be?
Oh, put myself in the film.
In the film.
You know, I'm going to have to go, I don't know if this will surprise you or not, but I'm going to have to go with Rare Exports.
Really? Ah, wow. That's funny, because I kind of entertained that one too. I'm curious now, why did you pick it?
Well, I think a little bit because of the scenery and where it's at, right? I mean, I think in Finland, just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. The before mentioned Naked Santas have me a little worried. or elves, I guess. They're really elves. But, I just thought that the setting of that movie was beautiful. I felt for that little kid, right? But yeah, I and of course there's others too, like each one of them, right? I don't want to go through each one, but like The Adventures of Aladdin, yeah, like that would have been cool.
Well, right? Don't steal mine.
Okay. There you go.
No, what I was going to say though is I thought maybe you'd pick the Quebec one, Mon Oncle Antoine.
Right.
Only, you know, the connection to the funeral director but that was kind of sad.
It was kind of dark.
It was depressed. Yeah. But I thought of Rare Exports. I thought same thing. But I was thinking, if I could inject myself into a film and be not one of the peasants in the market, but like actually in the Sultan's castle and all that, I thought The New Adventures of Atlantic could be a fun ride. Right. You know, that was just because it was so fun. Yeah. You know, they had a great time. So.
You know what my number two was?
What?
Ooh, there's no such thing as a Hollywood ending.
I've never seen you move like that. I guess you are recovered, Mark. Can I give you a quote?
Yes, please.
Mark, you know, and that, of course, is the message of Christmas. We are never alone. Not when the night is darkest, the wind coldest, the world seemingly most indifferent. That was by Taylor Caldwell.
That's a beautiful quote.
And perfect after a zombie apocalypse. You're never alone. No matter as dark as things may seem, someone's about to bite your face, you're all good. If our listeners, they have comments, suggestions, they want to suggest some of the movies, music, anything, we got festivefans@AOL.com. We have the festive foreign film fans Facebook site. We got everything. So try to reach out. We want to hear from you. And Mark, it's always fun.
It is. Thanks, Bob. It was a fun movie we talked about tonight. And, you know, I just hope all our fans will give this one a try. And I'm guaranteeing you at least 50% of you will walk away singing and dancing.
Mark.
Like a zombie.
Mark, there's no such thing as a Hollywood ending.
Ooh-wah. There's no such thing as a Hollywood ending. Ooh-ah, ooh-ah.
Actually, we're done.
Done, done.
It's over. Over, over. It's over.
It's over. Kaput. Finito.
It's over. It's over. It's over.
This has been a Waysound Studio production.
And sound engineering on our show is by Jake Fontana.